Welcome to Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hi, everybody. Granddaughter Crow here. I am so excited about our guest today, Dr. Reverend Laura Palmer. I love it. I have known, I don't even know how long we've known each other. Over a decade, I know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she and I did some research and some work together a little bit way back in the day about being a highly sensitive person or an empath. One of the things that I recognized is that it's a spectrum. It is a spectrum. And I would love it if, Laura, you could kind of describe your experience. Like, what's the definition of a highly sensitive person? And we interchange the word empath. And what have you found with this spectrum?
Let's see. So there is indeed a spectrum. As you know, Elaine Aron and her work that kind of coined the term highly sensitive person. She started out thinking it was a binary trait, right? Either you were a sensitive or a non-sensitive. But she's done some work and has found that there's that normal sensitive level that takes up about 60% of the population.
Like on the spectrum, I would say that you are probably one of the highest empaths that I have come into contact with. I've noticed people who are empathic, but they're not so empathic that they get really overstimulated. I tend to be pretty high. If I grade myself, I'm pretty high on the spectrum. I can be powerful. I can go out there, but I get overstimulated.
But I see the highly sensitive person kind of as the overarching term for that top 20% of the highly sensitive. And then on the higher spectrum would be the empaths. And in that way, that's how I differentiate it. I kind of put them on the spectrum for the different terms, but I use sensitive as an overarching term.
I love it.
That's highly sensitive persons gets really long to say.
Yeah, we can also shorten it to HSP.
Right? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I can tell you that from my personal experience, tracking my energy was a huge, huge help. Because I would just all of a sudden I would walk in somewhere or wake up one day and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't function. I wake up with a headache or I'm deeply, deeply tired. It's like bone tired. And when I started tracking it, I noticed that there were patterns, right? So like the full moons tend to overwhelm me. And so I know that like the day before or the night before, I'll do some particular cleansing ideas, like releasing, kind of working my way up to the full moon so that I can better manage that energy. Because I'll tell you, I'm not a good manager.
I love it. You know, and it's interesting because another thing in the research that we did in the past, there was this aspect of being a sensitive person was kind of being a weaker person within the Western society. But I see that you have a blog and you just published a blog, something about being sensitive is not for sissies. So I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite articles that I wrote the other day. It was one of those heavy energy days for me. And I think right now, at least this year in America and most likely across the globe, we're all getting hit with that confusion, frustration, energy from the pending election. It really is. It's being a sensitive means being open. But it also means knowing when to release, to set your boundaries, to recharge, And just going to the grocery store can really be a courageous ordeal, right?
Yeah.
So I tell my clients when they plop on the couch and they're like, I'm so tired, I'm unwell, I'm not sleeping well, I'm like, you're as sensitive. And it takes a whole lot of courage to carry that responsibility. Because we do, we have this innate energy, this innate power that whether we accept it or not, use it or not, we've got it. And that, you know, with power comes great responsibility, and with great responsibility comes great heavy days.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I like what you said a few moments ago about you're tracking your energy. Could you give the listeners a little bit of an idea about what does that look like and how could maybe they start tracking their energy?
Yeah, sure. So I have termed myself clairsmelliant, which means that I smell energy. Okay. I know there's another term. I think it's clairgustance, but that's not as much fun as
right.
So when I started to kind of recognize it, I would ask people, like, do you put your nose right here? What do you smell? And they wouldn't smell anything. So I knew it was energetic. So then I started noticing that there was this one particular smell for me that was very acrid. It smelled like burning brakes. It was my least favorite. The smell would make me nauseous and give me headaches. And after a while, I would be out somewhere and I would smell it. And then I would note it on my calendar, right, that I smelled this smell today. Three times throughout an entire year, I kind of tracked it. And I noticed the pattern that about 2 weeks after I would smell that acrid smell, there would be a mass shooting. Yeah. And I remember one day I was walking downtown in my little town and I smelled the smell and I immediately thought, because I'd had that tracking, I was like, "Ooh, somebody has a gun. Somebody bought a gun today. Somebody has nefarious plans." With the Reiki training and the energy training, I was able to kind of shed, I used the phrase, I am a master of light. I shed love and light. I send love and light to anyone who wants to receive it. And I kind of modified that to I send love and light to anyone who has nefarious plans. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Realizing that I don't have their permission, that it may just be, you know, sending love to a rock and the water's water on a rock and it's not going to go anywhere. But if it helps empower me, because the information I get, I am not like you, where you can kind of hone in on it and find out more details. At this point in my abilities, I'm just recognizing the smells. And so it's not like I can go to whoever or wherever and say, you know, in 2 weeks, this is coming. So my only response was to send love and light and to try and help heal it before it happens.
Yeah, I think that that is so powerful. I mean, if you look here and you see Dr. Reverend Laura Palmer, just like, hi, everybody, I'm Laura Palmer, and I can predict when a mass shooting is happening. It's just like, yeah, sensitives are hardcore. We are hardcore. And the beauty around it is that I think you brought up another part, that not only is there a potentially a spectrum where you have the more normalized, highly sensitive people who function in that way, and then you have the high spectrum, which you're identifying as the empath, but there, what I've noticed is that as empaths, we pick up things differently. We're not all the same. So, you know, when, so you're a clairsmellient, which I absolutely love, send you roses and lilacs energy just so you can smell it. But that there's other ways. And so, yeah, when you're doing your empath research, recognize how you are perceiving it. Get to know what kind of an empath or highly sensitive person you are. Keep track of it like a scientist would keep track of, oh, well, it started here. This is what's going on. And track it for an extended amount of time.
Okay.
Figuring out how you as an empath or a highly sensitive person perceives the energy is part of our mission. You know, it's part of our mission.
Yeah. I completely agree. I know that I have quite a few clients at this point, and every single one of them I love because every single one of them can do something different, and I learn of a new way, right? And it's all so exciting to see them go, oh my gosh, I can see colors. Oh my gosh, I can see energy. Oh my gosh, I see fairies. Whatever the ability is, but you're absolutely right. There are so many ways I have yet to meet a sensitive that does exactly the same thing as everybody else in exactly the same way. And that can also, it's a beautiful thing, but it can also be a frustrating thing because I have other clients. One client will say, well, I don't see him. I didn't experience it that way. I saw it as a figure eight energy. I didn't feel it in my body. And I'm like, but, and they think they didn't do it right.
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 And so it's kind of our job as their mentor or guide to kind of point out that they did experience something. It was just different, and embracing what they can do. And so that comparison, competition really needs to be set aside when you're working on empowering and embracing your ability, empowering and embracing your abilities.
I love it. You know, I pulled up just because we're talking about what she does for anybody out there. Here is how to connect with Dr. Reverend Laura Palmer. It is at thesacredscienceenergy.com. And this is where you get to like look at these different things. She's a Reiki master and she does a lot of counseling and spiritual direction. And she writes in the blogs and all of these things. This one is the one, sensitive is not for sissies. I love it. And so you can find out more. I did find out from Laura that she does Zoom for counseling sessions,
questions,
but that's how you can get in contact with her. You know, one thing that I found out, I find very, very fascinating about you is that you are not like, I'm going to title myself an empath without doing hardcore, hard science research. You research and research and research. So when you say something, it is not because, oh, I just had a thought. You know, it really means that she has studied. And she's the beautiful thing is that I love about you is that you focus your energy on the highly sensitive person. It's almost like that is your specialty. And I absolutely love that. I was an empath before I knew what an empath was. What is your take on what happens to a person when all of a sudden they've been living this life and then they start going, well, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overstimulated. I feel too much. I'm too this. I'm too that. And then they start coming down that path of being a sensitive. Maybe there's somebody who's listening to this that's like, I'm wondering if that's me. What are the basic traits that you look for, and what is the process that somebody comes down when they start realizing, oh, I'm not too much, I'm just enough, but I am a highly sensitive.
So, Elaine Aaron's website and hsperson.com, and there's the quiz in there, there's the quiz in the book. 70% of us are introverted. So when I see somebody that's introverted, I'm going to start looking for those character traits, right? Plus, if you come to me, chances are going to be really good. You're going to be a sensitive because that's right. What you're telling me, right?
Right.
But part of my job is a lot of people will say, but I don't fit all the character traits.
Gotcha.
Right. Like I think there are 18 and somebody will say, well, I fit with this one, but I don't fit with that one. And while Elaine Aaron has done a wonderful job of identifying those traits, there are a lot of kind of offshoots or side effects. So, for example, she does identify that sensitives are jumpy, that we startle easily, right? And her main identity, which I just latched right onto, was what really makes us sensitives is that we're sensitive to subtle energies in our environment.
Yes, I love right? that. I love that.
And then everything else kind of falls into place because of that one thing. Do with a new client who's curious and wanting to know more, I will kind of ask them if they could create a character for their grocery store. Right? Well, so we all have to go grocery shopping. We all have to eat. So what does your... Like, if your grocery store had a character, had a personality, what would that character look like? And the more I ask them to describe, it kind of tells me what kind of sensitive they are. And then I can kind of help veer them that way. Well, you might want to think about, does it have a smell? Does it have a color? Work with them to figure that out. And then I'll ask them the opposite, where what is the character of your least favorite store? House? Those kinds of probing questions to kind of help people figure it out. And a lot of times my only job is to notice, for example, I had one client, a Reiki student, and she was like, I've been noticing since I've been doing Reiki, my hands feel better. The arthritis has gone away. I feel physically better. And then in the next 5 minutes, she said, but Reiki can't help with physical ailments or diseases. And I'm like, okay, hold on. Let's just circle back and notice those two comments. And she was like, oh my gosh, she got so excited. She's like, well, I'm talking in circles and I'm not making sense. I need to calm down and focus. And really, and I'm like, there you go.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of helping, holding their space so they can just vomit.
Yeah.
And then kind of bring points back to them to help them realize their own sensitivities, their own abilities, and then foster those as well.
I love that. Foster those as well. So there is one more point that I'm hoping that we can talk about. When we were doing research together way back in the day, I remember that there was an actual study that Dr. Elaine Aaron, who coined the phrase HSP, went and had her biology researchers. And they went into different populations beyond just the human population. They went into like fleas and monkeys and I don't even recall. Mm-hmm. And they also found that 15 to 20% of all of these other over 100 species had these certain overstimuli, recognizing the subtleties with the environment, the depth of processing, all of that. And do you remember that, Laura?
I do. I love that. I love the results of those studies.
Yeah. And so I think that the one of the results alluded to so scientifically, so potentially The highly sensitive population is actually here to notice the subtleties, the changes within the environment, so that we can alert others of these sensitivities.
I love the fact that we are 20% of the entire global population. This particular article, I wish I could remember her last name, but she said we need to be that 20%. Because one of our most beautiful qualities is that we are the wait and see people, right? We're the ones that go, oh, the deer that hears the branch crack. We're like, oh, okay, well, we're just going to freeze, stay here a minute and wait and see what happens. But the climate change scientists that were barking at us back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, they were it was probable that they were highly sensitive persons.
Right.
So if we were a bigger proportion of the population, we would stay in this like spinning loading circle.
Right.
And we wouldn't get anywhere.
Right.
And so we are good alarmers.
We're the,
well, now, wait a minute. Let's step back and think about cloning. Let's think about the ramifications of this particular court case. Let's consider what this might do. So we love to think, we love data, but that is really our gift.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. There's so much depth of understanding in her research and depth of understanding in her lived experience. So if you want to connect with Dr. Laura Palmer, get on her website. Read her blogs, if nothing else. It probably will. I mean, she has an approach that is really good. So is there any last words that you want to say to the people?
In a way that helps people realize they're not crazy.
There could be different energies that are going on and overstimulation because they're noticing those subtleties. So thank you so much. I will put your website, web address down below. And thank you, Laura. I'm sorry, Dr. Reverend Laura Palmer. I know her as Laura. But thank you so much for being on the show today. And blessings to you. And we will see you next time.